Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth, broadcasting from my gangland stronghold here in New York. Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and the entire world is within reach. Now we're on DavidLeeRoth.com worldwide. I have a very special guest on the phone right now. His name is Dan Aquilanti, and he's calling from the New York Post about the Grammys. Dan, are you within distance there?
Hey,
can you hear
Dave,
me?
How you doing?
Extraordinary. Dan, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. What? Hey, you must be taking a lot of heat for saying the emperor has no clothes.
Oh, of course. You know, I think it's my duty now that I'm on your side of the microphone. Turnabout is fair play. I'm an ardent fan. I always approach this as a ticket buying, record buying participant. I don't compare it to what I do. I don't compare it to anything I've done at all, just purely as a fan. And I like to take a sporting bias to this. I love this music and all these new sounds so much that I'm all about, let's identify the weakness for a change, and maybe we can move the music past where we found it. I want to find the new Hendrix. I want to hear the new Janis Joplin. I want to hear the new Beyonce. I want to hear the new. What about you?
Absolutely. But, you know, the record industry just doesn't allow that to happen. I mean, not at the Grammy level. I mean, last night, for instance, there was 20 acts out there, but, you know, there was a kid, Matt Pond, who played the Bowery Ballroom. Fantastic show. Do you know this guy?
Are you saying Pete Tong, the DJ?
No, Matt Pond.
No, I don't know who that is.
He's a nobody, but you got to get out there and hear the music, and that's the problem with a lot of the record industry. They don't get out and listen to music. I get the impression from what I see this year, they don't like music.
I get the impression as well, and I get the impression that you have a lot of middle-aged characters who are wearing sport coats with blue jeans, but the blue jeans are too pressed, and they're wearing little loafers.
Age has nothing to do with it. It's the attitude. You have to be open. You have to be willing to hear something,
yeah,
good, something new, and you look at these categories, and you're putting out old stuff. You're putting out albums that are now 2004 albums.
Yes, I agree, and that's what I mean by it's an attitude that is middle-aged. Aged, tired, indecisive, and clutching on to, I got to put gas in the Mercedes. Let's do what is completely predictable, what's completely safe, and what's been done before. You agree with that?
Well, you know, I've heard what you've said about everything being derivative, but I don't completely agree with that because I think we have to have, you know, there's always building blocks. I mean, if you say everything is derivative, you get some guy saying you got your style from Black Oak, Arkansas.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty crazy.
My reflection of them being ranging from the derivative to the generic is in terms of...
What you're saying is
hold
there's
on.
A lot of boring stuff out there.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of boring stuff. But, you know, there is some... You know, I mean, I think, you know, you look at this year's Grammys and you say, big yawn, but, you know, then you get to some of the backdoor categories. You go to best hard, you know, category 17, for instance, best hard rock performance. That's the category. That's the category you got to listen to.
Yeah, and who's the one that's going to win out of best category on that one? Which one do you pick?
You know, man, I'll tell you, it is so hard because I want everyone to, this is one category where the race is so great. You have Audioslave, Nine Inch Nails, Robert Plant, Queens of the Stone Age, System of a Down.
And all of them ranging from the generic to the derivative until you get to Trent Reznor, who's still reaching into the back for the You Really Got Me riff here.
I'll tell you, Trent is something. But, you know, here's the thread that's in that category. You have a guy like Rick Rubin, who produced three of those albums.
Okay, and is that a good thing or a bad thing?
He did the Nine Inch Nails, and he did the System of a Down. So, you know, maybe he's the one who should win the Grammy for that category.
Possibly. What I look for when I talk about generic to derivative, of course, the music has to come from somewhere. It's got to be either plagiarized or stolen or accessed, whatever you use the term, whatever verb you choose. But it's like designing a car, Dan. If you design a car and I look at your car, your model car, and I go, okay, the front is Mercedes, the back is a Volvo, and the middle is Mitsubishi.
That's a mess.
But if I run my hand along that car and I can't feel the weld marks where you joined it together, and I go, well, it's kind of reminiscent of this, but then it changes into something. That is art. Do you agree or disagree?
You know, you come back to, you always quote Duke Ellington, if it sounds good, it is good.
Yes.
You know, so that's what it comes down to there.
Also, but what sounds good to me is something that is not immediately referencing something that is archly familiar. Agree or disagree?
I sit on the fence on that one because, you know, I look at a guy like Lenny Kravitz, and Lenny has taken a beating every year of his life for being totally derivative, but, you know, I listen to his albums and they rock.
I agree with you. And again, I can't quite trace the weld marks there. I think I hear a little earth wind. I think I hear a little smoky, and then he turns rock or whatever. It's intriguing because I can't quite identify the source. I think all popular music needs to have a little thread in the back that's familiar. That's a comforting thing. But it needs to have an adventuresome spirit. Who is the most adventurous today to you, Dan?
I want to say System really, really moves out in terms of being something very different, something that, you know, makes a demand of the listener. And eventually, and I don't want to say, you know, you have to listen to it 30 times. I think, you know, after a few spins that, you know, you're hearing something different, you know? I mean, it's something like what Queen did way back.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, that's a band that, you know, first time I listened to it, I said, what is this? What is this?
I understand.
I don't want this. And then, you know, it worked its way in. But I don't think they did it twice. They put out two albums this year, Hypnotized and Mesmerized. I do not think when they put out Mesmerized, they got what they got on... I'm sorry, I had that the other way around. I do not think they got what they got on Hypnotized, what they got on Mesmerized.
Why not? Why didn't they get that? What's missing?
I think they put out their best bullets first.
A lot of times acts don't take enough time in between, too. It becomes a constant perpetuating cycle where you're touring, working. Pretty soon it's all self-conscious. How do you deal with outside subject matter outside of yourself if there is no outside of yourself you're participating in? Should they have taken more time between the albums?
You know, again, you talk about the record music being, the record business being a business, and, you know, sometimes the machine behind you does not allow it, and you as an artist, and I'm sure you could attest to this more than anyone else in your room or my room, that you have to put your foot down and say, I'm taking the time. I'm putting out something good. That's the beauty of being Bruce Springsteen.
Well, it's also the beauty of any artist to becoming selfish enough to the degree where you're going to advance the music. And I don't know that I'm hearing a whole lot of people doing that right now.
And artists do have to please themselves, and not enough are doing that. They're trying to please everyone, and you know what happens. Nobody gets good quality product then.
What about what's happening in hip-hop and, you know, that whole nature? Who's sticking out for you now, Dan? I'm talking to Dan Anquilante. He's a critic coming from the New York Post. One of my favorites. Who do you select coming from, like, best rap category or that kind of a department?
Well, you know, Kanye has dominated the year. I like a lot of what he says in his raps. It's not very hard stuff, but, you know, like... one of the rappers that I like particularly this year isn't even nominated, Young Jeezy.
Okay, and why hasn't he been nominated? Why didn't they nominate him, do you think?
He's just way too hard, not enough listen to it. You know, these people are voted on. They're voted on, and if you don't hear the album, if it's not put out, if the record company doesn't get behind you and say, we want this guy, you know, they can't say, we want this guy, and this guy. They say, we want this guy. And it's going to be their Jay-Z, it's going to be their Nas, it's going to be their big act. And, you know, you don't put out for a little guy.
You say,
we're going to get him next year.
You think Kanye has been selected because he's digestible, mostly digestible for the white audience?
Absolutely. He is someone who has a fairly positive message. His Diamonds of Sierra Leone, you know, that's on his late registration album, certainly, you know, has that...
Okay, now when Jamie Foxx, that's him pretending to be Ray Charles, right? So he's pretending to be Ray Charles, and then they sample that. It's actually a sample of a sample. Isn't that postmodern?
I don't even want to get into that. I don't know what happens to you after you do that a while.
But you
want to talk about being derivative, you know, I mean, listen to Gold Digger. Man, you are so close to that Ray Charles song in the beginning that it's more like a mashup.
Well, the Ray Charles part is the high point. That's the crux move of the whole moment there. That is the selling point, arguably the biggest hook of the song. You agree or disagree?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, take John Mayer did the original song on his latest blues album, on the John Mayer Trio, and I was shocked because I thought, you know, Kanye added more to it. Not true. Kanye added a rap to it. That is it. Zero.
Do you think that we're selecting a lot of these artists based on their message and their personality more than the music, Dan?
There is a great deal of politics involved in the Grammy. And, you know, and it's probably like the Oscar and probably like every award. You know, the beauty of the Grammy is The Grammy is musicians selecting musicians. That's always been its strong point. And sometimes they are taking care of friends.
A lot of times, you know, also I'm taking flack here when I critique a song, and we do it with a lot of hilarity, and in New York style, our humor has teeth. And I'm participating with the music jubilantly. I'm smiling through the whole thing, and I actually own most of these records. But when I make fun of somebody, however gently or however cynically, whatever, I take a lot of flack for the lyrical content. When I'm talking about melody, execution of chorus, development in the song, and people go, how can you make fun of starving children?
Oh, listen, you could, in rock and roll, you join the club on this one. You could say good things about people, and they're going to still take umbrage to it. And when you say something bad, man, you could talk about their mother. You could kick their dog. You could give them a black eye. But you talk bad about their rock and roll band, you have a fight.
There you go. What about the violence in popular hip-hop and rap music? You know, Busta Rhymes just had a dust-up. And, you know, we've heard about Chris Rock describing, well, Martin Luther King Jr. got assassinated, Tupac got shot. What is your take on violence in the lyrics and stuff like 50 Cent with the massacre, etc.? What's your feelings on that?
These guys have the world. They have the world under their arm. You know, it's all for them, and they still want to make it street. They still want to. It boggles the mind that they can't, or the fans can't make the separation. You know, and you know the idea of keeping it real, boy, it's just dumb. I mean, did you have to live out every one of your songs? Did you have to live out Gigolo? Did you have to, you know what I mean?
Well, actually, since I never carried a sidearm, yeah, I did live out all of those lyrics, but I was never involved in anything involving firearms or whatever, so it's a different kind of a context. You know, I'm an EMT. I wear a badge here in New York City, mm-hmm. and for the last couple of summers, I rode in the ambulances in most of the boroughs here, and I kind of worked my way up to the bottom. After a year of working shifts, they knew I was dependable and that I was good to go with my skills. I've worked in every project building, every hood, everything from East New York to Red Hook to Harlem, etc.
Dave, I live in the Rockaways.
Okay.
So you know the neighborhood.
I know it very well. Okay. I can even tell you what hospital you're going to if this interview falls apart. If you have a nervous breakdown in the middle of the Grammys, call me. I can pack. We can do load and go, or we can stay and play. I'll bring my collar. But what I'm talking about here is that probably 30% of my caseload was kids under the age of 10. All right, especially in the projects. And and I would always, when we had like a 15 or a 20 minute ride back to the hospital or whatever, I entertain the kids with conversation, and I'm always asking them. I point to the shoes of a 9-year-old who's wearing an earring, and I point to his shoes and I go, what does G-Unit means? And he makes his finger like a gun and goes, pshew. I wonder if kids can differentiate between the violence that's happening in the rap lyrics and, say, the violence that you see on the movie screen.
No,
do you think they can?
And you just say movie screen. You know, throw the video game in where they actually put a gun in your hand and you get to shoot somebody and it becomes play and you don't know the ramifications of getting involved in that. It's all a game. It's all playing until it really happens, and then you see the kid come out. You see that tear come out when they've shot their little brother, their best friend, and then you get them. You get a kid who's 17 or 18 who's going to spend the rest of his life in prison.
What do you think when BET picks up Farrakhan as the man of the year? That came from BET, did it not? And,
well,
and this is the primary resource for music for a lot of the neighborhoods that I was working in, the only resource for the neighborhoods that I was working in. And when you tie in a political connection like that, how do you think it affects the music?
It affects the people listening to the music.
In which way?
You know, I mean, it affects. Yeah, I don't think it's going. You know, I mean, well, you have a man like Mr. Farrakhan who could say, who can take a stand and say, listen, you want me, stop playing music where people get blown away, and stop playing music where women are treated as if every woman is a hoe and every young man is a target.
Okay.
You know, it's a man like him who has to take a stand, and if he failed to do that, then, you know, I don't blame the station, I blame him.
Okay, now, just you started talking about some of the subjects in the songs. Let's move to the women who are going to be selected or at least be nominated here. What has happened And obviously there's an editorial subtext here, you can tell already in my voice. What has happened to the state of women's vocals, women vocalists today? Because I think you probably agree that it's a little bit different than the barrel house voices of whatever, the Tina Turners, the Janis Joplins.
You know, look at Mariah Carey. She has a big, bad voice. She is something. You know, whether you like what she sings or not, she can belt it out. There's a lot of women with these little whispery voices, but, you know, they're not up there like Mariah is this year. And, you know, again, you can
Well, what happened to the Chaka Khans that the Mariah's wishes they were?
Oh, do you really think that Mariah wishes she was Chaka Khan?
Absolutely, and I can tell you the difference. It's called homework. It's called road work. It's called distance under the tire.
Dave, this is an area I think we're going to split ways on. I think Mariah has a real talent. Again, I'm not a big fan in music.
It's in showbiz.
I'm not a big fan of her songs, you know, but I hear her voice, and I say, you know, when she lets loose, she can let loose. At the Grammys this year, you know what I want to see? I want to see this duet with Herbie Hancock and Christina Aguilera. I think that is going to be the high point of the show.
And Christina Aguilera will bury both of them. She's probably got one of the best voices going out there, right along with Pink.
I heard her do an Etta James song. Blew me away. It was so unlike all of her pop stuff. What a big bad voice, you know, when it comes down to it. You know, you think she came up at the same time as Britney and all the little Pop-Tarts. Man, she is going to be the one that goes the distance.
You're talking about Aguilera?
Absolutely.
Well, she's got all the best personal problems, all the best allegations and rumors, and all the best sex issues following her around. All that rage is bound to translate into genius work. Do you agree?
Well, she is something. I have, you know, every time I've heard her sing, every time I've spoken with her, she has done nothing but impress me.
Sheryl Crow, and that's not a suggestion. What do you think?
I loved her when she duetted with Kid Rock. How's that?
Good lawyer answer. You'll do well in Congress. Bonnie Raitt, has she ever won a Grammy? Has Bonnie ever
Bonnie, what was it, about 6 years ago she made a huge comeback?
That's
six
right.
years ago, 12 years ago now.
Luck of the draw or whatever.
And she walked away with an armful of Grammys.
Again, I'm looking for these powerhouse voices that I grew up. Maggie Bell, The Girl in Cold Blood, Mother's Finest. These were barrel house voices. Tina Turner, of course. The voices that were textured over thousands of hours of work in either the Chitlin' Circuit or whatever.
How about last year? Turn to Melissa Etheridge when she conjured up Janis Joplin.
Good choice.
My heart.
Excellent choice.
Good voice. Real. Awoke the world up and said, this is what a good woman singer sounds like.
Dan Aquilanti. I can't argue with you. I agree with you on everything.
I'm going to go back to bed.
God bless. That was been talking to Dan Aquilanti. He's the man from the New York Post. I'll be watching the Grammys with what you told me in mind. Thanks for calling, Dan.
You take care, Dave.
God bless. Roth Radio. We speak to everybody. Cynics, just like you, baby. And as long as I speak your mind, you're never going to get tired of D-Row. Yeah. Here's a track for you. People want to know what I'm listening to. Dig this. No assembly required, baby. Ooh. Play some guitar, baby. Put a spank, baby. This is a new band called No Assembly Required. Dig that groove, Sasha. Yeah, baby. Dig.
I love this.
Yeah, baby, I knew that. Sweet on mama. Yeah, white girl. Yo. It's in a good to go. No assembly required here, baby. Roth Radio. David Lee Roth. My special guest was Dan Aquilanti. He was on the phone there. He's the critic from the New York Post. Whoa, the only paper with the most. I can't believe it. We actually agreed on just about every single thing. We got to get him on the show more frequently here. What do you think of this track, Animal? Dig it, baby.
Yeah, man, I love that bass, man. It make you want to dance.
Turn
man.
It up, man.
Yeah,
hit it up.
Turn it up. Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff I'm listening to. These dance, oh, dance animal. That's soulful, baby. Sexy. That's called No Assembly Required. That's the name. The episodes in jazz is actually the thing. 866-313-3733. It's Grammys tonight for me, baby. Sitting, waiting, wishing. Jack Johnson, just like the fighter, huh? This is coming in for Best Male Pop Vocal Performance. His name is Jack Johnson. It comes from an album called In Between the Dreams. sitting, waiting, and wishing. Go ahead and play Jack Johnson one time for us, Hutch. This is for Best Male Pop Vocal tonight on the Grammys.
Well, I was sitting, waiting, wishing you believed in superstitions. Then maybe you'd see the signs. But Lord knows that this world is cruel, and I ain't the Lord, no, I'm just a fool. And I'm loving somebody, don't make them love you. Must I always be waiting, waiting on you?
Pretty good so far here.
Must I always be playing, playing your fool? I sang your songs, I danced your dance, I gave you...
This is Best Male Pop Vocal? I get a reading off of this. Okay, there's a soulful element to this, but this rings as the best vocal from a guy. How does this get selected as best male vocal? I understand the song. I understand the groove. I understand, you know, the acoustic element of this. But this is considered a great vocalist here. Turn this up. Go ahead. Jack Johnson, best male vocal. Here we go. Now there's four of him singing. I'm having a little bit of a Kinks kind of a vibe there. Do you hear that? I can't believe that that was selected as best male pop vocal.
Well, I think you're thinking like technically great vocalist.
No, I'm not. Okay, I'm talking, I believe in Bob Dylan's voice. Okay. I believe in the guy in Rolling Stones' voice. You know, I believe in Rod Stewart's raspy old voice. Okay. It doesn't have to be technically perfect. Okay. Nothing in my life is technically perfect. Yeah. Hey, no comment. But that is not a unique vocal, is it? Does that stand out to you as something that is...
Sounds like he smoked about five joints, drank a couple of beers, and he's been laying in the sun
too long.
He's a
surfer boy.
Yeah, he's a
surfer.
Oh, I know who this is.
Yeah, he's a surfer guy.
He lives right at Pipeline.
Well, keep your day job, kid. Anyway, 866-313-3733. Hey, there's that track, baby.
Yeah.
See, now you do the same vocal to this track, baby. Let's see if Paul McCartney's got the chromosome. See if he's got the gene, baby. You want to swing it?
Sure.
No, don't turn my track back up. No, not yet. I don't want to hear Paul McCartney. Go ahead, baby. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There, she loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Baby, hold my hand. I should have known better with a girl like you. These are all my favorite Beatles songs. Help. I need somebody. Baby, help. I need somebody. Okay, we're going to listen to Paul McCartney here. Fine Line, a track from Chaos and Creation in the Backyard. When the titles get this long, I sense danger. It's a little too quiet around here. Play Paul McCartney. The track is Fine Line, best male pop vocal performance. Here we go.
About time you understood which road to take. It's a fine line, and your decision makes a difference. Get it wrong.
Okay, stop it. I hate it when you gotta wade through somebody's sobriety. I hate it when somebody's preaching to me. It's okay to preach to me, I just don't want to know it. Does that make sense? 866-313-3733. We're going to stop for a second on Best Male Pop Vocal and see who can weigh in on this. There's the track. Yeah, pick the best one up there. Who wants to dust it up here? Anybody, Hutch, just hit a button. 866-313-3733. Greg, you're in with Roth, baby. Hit it. Yo.
David, how are you?
Good, Greg. What you thinking?
You know, I was thinking, I think you're looking at some of these songs as the professional you are from sort of like a producer's standpoint.
No, exactly. You couldn't be more mistaken if you possibly tried. I'm listening to it as a fan. I'm listening to it as somebody with ears and a heart, and I want it played to equitably. But what I'm doing is I'm pointing out the weaknesses instead of just celebrating what's good about everything, because if you do that, then the music doesn't advance. And I hear a lot of not advancement this year. What do you hear?
Well, you said earlier that you think education presupposes experience.
No, I didn't say that at all. Try again. What I said is that only an imbecile thinks that experience can replace an education. I think they're both really, really necessary. But we're a generation or two now who lunges forward going, I don't got to learn what came before. I'll just sort of make it up on my own. Last I looked, nobody has invented a new letter for the alphabet in terms of writing your lyrics. Nobody's invented a new guitar chord in terms of the instrumentals. It pays to learn what happened before so you don't make the same mistakes or simply repeat what came before. Do you disagree or agree?
Well, so far I agree, but let me give you this one. Some of these people, if you have too much education, you're constantly studying the classics and stuff like that. Don't you think you lose some of that raw energy?
Absolutely. A musicologist is somebody who can read music, but he can't write it. Hey, that's a good one. 866-313-3733. I don't come from an educated standpoint in terms of the music that I listen to. Listen to this track in the back. This is something from my collection here, baby. Yeah. Does that sound educated to you? I want it as uneducated, uncouth, knuckle-dragging, thuggish as it possibly can be. And I don't care if it's Trent Reznor or these guys coming here. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Pick another number, Hutch. Whichever. It's all good. It's all the fans. Hit them up.
Oh,
Roth
great.
Radio.
Keith.
Keith, you're on from sea to shining sea. Go, baby.
How are you?
What's up?
Listen, Do you listen to these artists to hear their material, and you think that they got in the studio 5 minutes before they decided to make the album and they started winging this or making this stuff up? Does it seem that way to you? Does it sound that way to you?
It completely does, and that's the most pristine, clarified vision that I've heard over the telephone in weeks in this job. My broadcasting career is almost a month old, and that's probably the clearest vision yet. And let me explain what I think he's talking about here. You write your music well in advance. You write it in the basement, you write it in the garage or the attic, wherever it is you do, that's just you and whatever's coming out of your heart, whatever's coming out of your Speedos. For me, it's a combination of the two, a fine house blend, okay? What happens, though, is a lot of musicians make the critical error in judgment of walking into the studio and trying to play the studio. You're going to sit down with a time limit, a clock up there that doesn't say 12, 1, 2, 3. It says $10,000, $30,000, $80,000.
Dave, I just thought of something. Another thing is most bands, their first record, they've spent playing those songs for years in clubs and picking out the best ones. Then they do their first record, which is the best songs. Then the next record, they don't play that stuff in clubs. They're not doing these little small gigs.
Yep, and then they try and go into the studio. And again, under that time limit, you're spending so much money. You've got the producer sitting in one chair. You've got the manager and the agent in the other chair. You've got the record company. You've got your wife. There's the groupie. Oh, geez, she showed up. How? Come on, you were supposed to call her, Hutch. How do you create something genius and unique in that respect? You can't. As soon as somebody's going, man, do you realize how many thousands of dollars this is taking? Now go into the other room and write the lyrics. You're always going to come back with Moon in June rhymes with spoon. What do you think, guys? Everybody's all in a hurry. And I agree with you. It sounds like these people went into the studio and figured that inspiration would happen right at that specific moment. What do you think? Am I on the money?
I mean, it could take weeks to write the song the first time. I mean, you might have to play with it a while. It's still the first time, right? It's still when you're done, I'm done. But, you know, what do you think, guitar player? What do you think, bass player? Yeah, I'll add this in. But it sounds like they get there after the first album, which, like you said, they're in the clubs, they beat the bushes, they got to play it all. Then the second one, all right, we have to hurry up and put something out. What do you think?
I think so. I think that they're cutting corners and that you have a lot of people who have an exalted view of themselves. Once you get a platinum record, the temptation is to go, I can achieve anything here. You walk into that studio, man, and you think that the inspiration is just going to descend onto your shoulders. Ooh, that's a rough way to balance out your mortgage, much less your artistic vision. Your artistic vision is the first thing that's going to get trashed. The second thing that's going to get trashed is the rest of everybody else who's up for best male pop vocals right after this.
Yeah, man. Guitar, baby. Play it, Brian. Give me some solo there, brother. Solo on me, baby. Say it.
Roth Radio, broadcasting live from the Rhythm Kitchen. A recent graduate from Our Lady of Holy Roller Perpetual Motion, David Lee. I'm David Lee Roth. 866-313-3733. What's that called? No assembly required. That's what we're listening to in the background there. Somebody called in and asked, well, what are you listening to? Jig this track. Turn it up. 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 Yeah. We're going to go on for best rap song here. And I think the songwriting is what is called on to the mark here. And that I think the artist actually probably goes up on stage and collects with them. Everybody's going to use every possible opportunity to get up on stage. And then they're first going to thank Jesus. And then they're going to thank their mom. and then they're going to thank the guy who's has a dubious occupation from their past, who financed all the initial demo efforts. A lot like Mariah Carey's hooker sister, right? We read about that in the news, you know. She financed the early demo projects and everything. Hey, Totem Pole, I knew you when you was just a tree stump. 866-313-3733. Let's weigh in on Candy Shop. This is from The Massacre. This is 50 Cent featuring Olivia. And I think this goes for up the songwriters. Best rap song. Go ahead and swing on that, Kutch. Go ahead.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I love the word uh-huh.
So seductive. I take you to the candy shop. I let you lick the lollipop.
What do you think he means, Slash?
Hey girl, don't you stop.
I don't know.
Keep going until you hit the spot. Whoa.
I'll take you to the candy shop.
Yeah.
One more taste of what I got.
Am I detecting a faint Arabian kind of influence in the background there? I know. Hate the war, support the soldiers. So we recorded this track for you, right?
You go back that thing up, or should I push
and behold, my friend.
Rising. Okay, let's go to the next level.
Dance. Brought to you at the cost of many lives, but this is of no concern to you, my friend Sasha, because tonight you are my very special guest.
What do you think, Animal? Is this going to win something? Is this a best rap song?
Well, I'd like to hear some of the competition before I give you an answer on that, Dave.
Okay, you've been
up against that.
Okay, this is Candy Shop. This comes by 50 Cent. Get ready for the next one here. We're going to go for the Kanye West tune here. This is Diamonds from Sierra Leone. I find this intriguing because all the bling, or a lot of the bling, comes from Sierra Leone, which is a complete country consumed in the flames of conflict or whatever. Let's see if we can witness that in the lyric here. I don't know.
Diamonds are forever.
Hey, it's my theme song.
They're all
leaving the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever.
Throw your diamonds in the sky if you feel the vibe.
Diamonds are forever.
The rock is still alive every time I rhyme. Forever, ever, forever, ever, ever, ever.
Okay, it's easy to be silly, all right? The Diamonds Are Forever is a classic. That's the James Bond element. Play it from the top one more time here. Go ahead. Because the original song is probably better than the hip-hop that they just put under it. Go ahead from the top.
Diamonds are forever. They're all I need to tease me.
Leave in the night. I've no fear that they might
desert me.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 10 points for choosing a James Bond song. And I'm going to deduct 10 points for being painfully generic, painfully derivative. Do you think Kanye
so
can
far
even...
I like the 50 Cent cut.
Yeah, I think that's better. Do you think that Kanye can even spell Sierra Leone?
Probably not.
He probably thinks it's a stripper.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
But see that 50 Cent cut, that's a Dr. Dre beat, and that's got platinum written all over. Anything he does is basically platinum, you know?
Okay, moving along. Don't Funk With My Heart. And this comes from the Black Eyed Peas. We talked about them yesterday here. This is up for Best Rap Song. We're going to be watching for this tonight. This comes in Best Rap Song. Don't Funk With My Ears.
Funky Worm.
Again, this is somebody playing with two index fingers. Can you hear it? This is Chopsticks. A little Bollywood.
They can't say funk anymore.
It's a little bit of Bollywood, okay? I'm down for the mix and match, but this is, again, this sounds like somebody with two index fingers and one of them is sprained. You can tell right away what's happening with this. Dismissed. Okay, moving along here. Hate it or love it. Interesting. This comes from the documentary, and there's about 19 people listed on this one. Go for it, Hutch, whenever you're ready. Hate it or love it, best rap song. This is the nominee.
Let's take them back.
Oh, I love this. This is because of the Marvin Gaye sample. Turn it up. Here we go.
50 Cent. Coming up, I was confused. My mama kissing a girl. Confusion occurs coming up in the cold world. Daddy ain't around, probably out committed felonies. My favorite rapper used to sing, check out my melody. I want to live good, so shit, I sell drugs. Four-finger ring, one of them gold ropes. Nana told me if I pass, I get a sheepskin coat. If I can move a few
okay,
packs,
stop.
I get the hat.
Stop. What makes this song really work is the soul power of Marvin Gaye, which has transcended the ages, even two guitar chords. When you add in that kind of a vocal melody on top of it, moves mountains, man. That song goes
hypnotized.
It's hypnotic, it's sexy, it's mesmerizing after a point. The only thing that distracts from it is guys with a limited vocabulary trying to transcend a melodic thing that transcends language. Go from the top one more time and listen to what this track really sounds like, because that's a classic Marvin Gaye. And you hear that conga in the background, even the band is signature. It still comes through even on a sample.
Yeah.
Hear it?
Let's take them back. Uh-huh.
Sounds like an old movie.
Coming up, I was confused. My mommy kissing a girl. Confusion occurs coming up in the cold world. Daddy ain't around, probably out committing felonies. My favorite rapper used to sing, check out my melody. I want to live good, so shit, I sell drugs.
Yeah.
Four-finger ring, one of them gold ropes. Nana told me if I pass, I get a sheepskin coat. If I can move a few packs, I get the hat. Now that'd be dope, tossed and turned in my sleep that night. Woke up the next morning, stole my bike. Different day, same shit, nothing good in the hood. I run
good
away,
lyrics.
To never come back if I could.
Good in the hood. Is that like Spoon and Junior?
Yeah.
Turn it back up there. I want to hear the chorus, man. I want them to shout.
Hated to love it, the underdogs on top. And I'm going to shine, homie, until my heart stops. Go ahead and envy me. I'm Raps MVP.
This should definitely win it. Just the choice to pick this sample. That works. That works for me the best so far. Okay, this is already the winner for the best rap song. Easily. Hate it or love it. That's coming from a whole bunch of writers. That's The Game featuring 50 Cent. The Game comes from Los Angeles, huh?
Compton. Yeah, yeah.
That's your old stomping ground, isn't it?
Back in the day. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. This is a great, great track. I loved this the first time I saw it on the TV set, and I love it now. Great stuff. I give it 11 out of 10. Go for one more here. We'll take the vote on the phones here. This is Lose Control, and it's Missy Elliott featuring Ciara, who got dismissed earlier, and Fat Man Scoop.
Music make you lose control. Let's go.
You gotta see Animal here.
Yeah. I like that video too.
Yeah, I wish I had a video of you dancing.
You do.
Okay, my hand goes up for Hate It or Love It, coming from The Game featuring 50 Cent. That one wins it to me, hands down. 866-313-3733. Put on my brand new loop, no assembly required in the background there, if you would, baby. And let's get the phone calls going on this. Pick it up, whatever looks like the most interesting. Dominic, number 10, you're on, baby. Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight now, homie. Yo.
Yo, David Lee, you are the man.
God bless you, my brother. What's in your mind this time?
Well, I've been dying to talk to you about today's rap. And, Dave, I hope you don't disagree with me too much, but I've been listening for a few days, and I feel you. The new rock, the new lyricists of today, they're students trying to impress teachers in the studio.
I agree, and it's them trying to impress fans specifically, and I'm not a big fan of a result-oriented theater. If the result is there, great, but if you meant to shock me, I'm hardly ever shocked, you dig? And in terms of making rap and making grooves and whatever, I love these grooves. I love the genre. I love the style. It's just the pile that exists now does not make me smile. I'll show you how easy you could make it bang if you knew how to hang. Put my loop up here. Here I go, babe.
You don't have to sell me 50 Cent, Dave.
Hold on. I'm going to sing. I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps and find I'm king of the hill and then I'm top of the heap because my vagabond shoes are longing to stray and now my little town blues are melting away. If I can make it there, make it anywhere. New York, yo, square. 866-313-3733. Is he still on the line?
I'm here.
Hey, my brother, how is it? Why do you think that music is taking a beating, if in fact that is the case? It may not be. But why do you think that the music today is a little bit different than it might have been yesterday?
I stopped in 90 because the 80s bands were getting a little tired. I still go to all the shows, but I started to realize that the new bands just weren't doing it for me and that rap took a new meaning for me. You're right, limited vocals. But these Marvin Gaye riffs, and these Indian beats in the background, these are a result of Dr. Dre and people like Eminem who deserve to be in the spotlight now. And I'll be honest, Dave, that's what makes me feel good in the last 10 or 15 years. N.W.A., Dr. Dre, 50 Cent, I mean...
You should see the smile on Animal's face.
Yeah. Animal, I mean, that stuff goes in my CD player, and I feel like a kid. I'm 30, I'm in my 30s.
I know it, man.
That's with my shit. Own kids... And I can't ever get that Massacre out of my CD player. It's been 5 months.
Well, if you point out to him that it contains a Marvin Gaye sample from a whole nother generation, probably 35 years ago, you might get him to swear off of it. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Dominic, he's kind of talking about what's happening in rap right here. Drew, he says trying new things, or maybe it's a she. Number 12, Roth Radio, yo and babe. Hit it. Go.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Excellent, Drew.
Don't you think that things are so derivative now because...
Wait a minute, were you just sampling yourself?
Yeah, I think I was. We're so nostalgic. I don't think it's derivative. I think everyone's so nostalgic. We were watching I Love the 90s before 2000 was over. You know, and every like VH1 show or MTV show is going back to see what was great before. And we're tired, we're scared of trying new things.
I agree with you. And I take the Navy approach, you know, or maybe people are taking the Navy approach that the only easy good day was yesterday. I don't believe that. I think there's more ambition. I think there's more inspiration. I think people have more technical facility and more capacity to learn about music from more different places than ever before. That's inarguable. But I don't think that new people, new young people specifically, have a place to practice. I can name you 100 places within walking distance of where I am right now to play original material. But where do you get to learn your chops? Where do you learn to play when you have the flu? Where do you learn to do it when you break a string on stage? Where do you do it when you forget what to say in between songs? Those clubs, those bars have disappeared everywhere except for here. David Lee Roth's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea. We don't get the well ones down here, baby. Join me for all on the radio that's completely free. 92.3. And I'll see you mañana.